join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey continues with preparing for the supernatural.
Joshua, he says, but one of the first things he says as we prepare for it, he says to Joshua, I said, well, and I asked God this. See, I read and I start asking questions so I can try to give you more insight into it. He says, now, Joshua, the first thing I'm going to do, he says, I'm going to magnify you. Put up Joshua 3 and verse 7. Tells him about the ark and a priest going to carry the ark. But then he almost like throws this in him like, what's this got to do with it? Verse 7. And the Lord said to Joshua, but today, oh, this is, tomorrow I'm going to work wonders. But today, Bible's clear. Tomorrow I'm going to work wonders. But today, I'm going to magnify you in the sight of all Israel. Tomorrow, oh man, Jesus. Tomorrow, I'm going to be magnified. I'm going to be made bigger. But in order for me to be made bigger today, I got to magnify you, Joshua, in the sight of all Israel. That tells me some of the people were despising Joshua. Now, I'll be honest, y'all. I speak to pastors, some of my spiritual sons who are second generation pastors or succeeding pastors, and I have to tell them they experienced stuff I didn't experience. I'm a founding pastor. I was here before y'all got here. Okay? So, but imagine have to deal with my grandmama started this church. I was here, boy. I was here. I remember when you was a little boy. I used to change your diapers in the nursery, in the wilderness nursery, in the children's church tent. So he says, God said, before I can work wonders, I got to magnify you in front of the people. The people got to see you bigger than they're seeing you. God says, I'm going to magnify you because this was necessary because when people despise or fail to esteem their spiritual leaders, they limit the supernatural power of God being displayed among them. Well, I don't look to no man. I look to God. I don't need no man. I told y'all last Sunday about that woman who said she didn't need a man, right? I don't need no man. Jesus is my husband. I don't need no man. Just me and Jesus until that house caught on fire and that man running out the house trying to put his pants on. And somebody yelled, there go Jesus. Look to your neighbor and say, you just might need a man. You just might. I'm sorry. No children's church today. I'm sorry. But God, many times before he works, God works through people. God gives instructions to people. And so the Bible says things like, obey them that have the rule over you. Other translations said your spiritual leaders. It says, and esteem them highly for their work's sake. Esteem them highly for the job that God has given them to do and for who they are in your life. Because many times for God to work in the midst, you got to esteem those who he has given authority in the midst. It was necessary, because if you don't, you'll limit the supernatural power of God being displayed among them. Okay, what happened with that former generation? Psalm 78 and 41, look at this. It says they turned back and tempted God. And even though God is all powerful and omnipotent and omnipresent, and as I heard one person say years ago, omniscience. It means it's pronounced omniscient. They said it with confidence too. God is omniscient. They did not just say God is omniscient. So even though God's omnipotent and omnipresent and he's omniscient, meaning he knows everything, it says they limited the Holy One of Israel. It is possible for you to limit what God wants to do in your life. With all his power, with all his glory, with all his might, you can limit his power. Watch this. Not limit his power for everybody. You can limit it for you. And the reason why we have to balance that, because the Bible says this. It says, if we believe not, God remaineth faithful. For he can't deny himself. Now what God says, I'm powerful whether you believe it or not. Come on now. I'm Lord whether you believe it or not. But the deal is, when you believe it, now I can be powerful for you. I can make a way whether you believe it or not. But when you believe it, now I can make a way for you. Look at somebody and say, this has to become personal. To limit God is to not put yourself in a position of faith to receive all his promises and allow him to perform the supernatural in your life. So we have to put ourselves, prepare for the supernatural, sanctify yourself. And we're going to be doing that through prayer. We're going to be doing that through reading the word. We're going to be doing that through fasting. Somebody say fasting. You only fasting means abstaining from food. It don't mean eating fast. I got to eat this food real fast. We fasting. Got to eat this Biggie fries quick. Because we fasted. Okay? We're going to be doing that through fasting. But what we're doing, we're putting ourselves in a position of faith to receive all his promises and allow him to perform the supernatural in our lives. Go to Matthew 13. So why do we need to prepare? We need to prepare to get our hearts ready. We need to prepare to be in a position of faith. Matthew 13, verse 54. It says, Jesus, he comes to his own country. Come to his own country. You'll hear that praise report Pastor Moss gave today, and she worked it in, and we danced about it, about a sister, about fighting the two girls, and the sister pointing. I looked one eye at her, I said, that's called ghetto hood praise. All y'all can't relate to that. You got to come out the ghetto in the hood. I mean, Pastor Moss just said that just as plain, like all y'all like, man, it was like that. I had to preach in Newark, New Jersey. I had to preach in Newark, New Jersey last year for Bishop Page's, his denomination, for their convocation. And so we stayed. All my life, I ain't never stayed in downtown Newark. Like, I didn't pass through downtown Newark. I drove through that. I ain't never stayed. I mean, they put me in the hotel on Broad Street, a block from Market. I'm like, geez, move quick, Chandler. So this man, Chandler's with me, and we're waiting outside for them to come pick us up. I said, maybe we should wait inside. Anyway, waiting for them to pick him up. And this man walking through the street, and he walking down, and he got some kind of weird clothes on. And he walking down, and he walked down. And Chandler ain't never seen nothing like this. Chandler looked at the man and said, what the F you look like? You want some of this? You want women out? Blank, blank, blank. Chandler said, Dad, it's like that. I said, it's like that. It's a different world from where you come from. I said, it's like you don't be staring at somebody you don't know. You just keep walking. He said, I said, it's like that. Yes. Don't be staring at people on Broad Market. Now, what was I talking about? So Jesus comes to his own town. He goes back to the hood. Okay. And he taught them in the synagogue. And they were astonished. They were so busy listening to who was saying it that they wasn't focused on what he was saying. Oh, come on now. Y'all know that happens in church all the time. Okay. Somebody get up here and sing. You ain't never heard him before. You're like, she can sing. Man, she hitting those notes. Listen to the song. She only the only one that can sing around here. Somebody preached, man, I didn't know he had all that in him. And they're so focused and astonished on who's saying it because they knew him from a child. I'm still connected is why God had to raise up Joshua in their eyes in order to work miracles. They despised Jesus. They said, I mean, we just know him as the carpenter's son. Okay, which means, watch this. The carpenter's son is supposed to be the next carpenter. Now, where does preaching come from? Okay, you your father's trade, you took over that. And you didn't say, Joseph wasn't, even though we say a carpenter, Joseph wasn't a carpenter, he was the carpenter. Okay, some of y'all don't know what that means. That's one of the reasons why he wasn't broke. Okay. The population of Columbia, South Carolina, the metro here, about 700,000, is believed in about 5 years, it's going to be at 1 million. Get ready, get ready, get ready. That's why we got to build a bigger church. For those of you who don't know. Okay. And Joseph wasn't a carpenter, he was the carpenter. So imagine in Columbia, South Carolina, you are the carpenter. You're not a barber, you're the barber. You're not a seamstress, you're the seamstress. You're not a masseuse, you're the masseuse. You're not an electrician, you're the electrician. Would you be paid? Because everybody got to come to you. They know Jesus as the carpenter's son. Now, where does preaching come from? And so he's standing there preaching, teaching the synagogue, and they said, well, whence has this man this wisdom? And these mighty works. One of the other gospels says, whence cometh all this? Where all this coming from? They're not even listening. Where all this coming from? Yea, they, thou. Where all that dunamis in his voice coming from? Boy, you know who you're talking to. And they said, is not this the carpenter's son? Don't we know his mama Mary? You know the one who supposedly, he the Holy Ghost child. That's the Holy Ghost child right there. That ain't Joseph's son. That's the Holy Ghost child. And his brothers, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, for those of you who come out of the Catholic persuasion, I just got to help you here. Okay. Because our Catholic brothers and sisters, they teach that Mary remained a virgin all her life. And she ascended into heaven a virgin. I got one problem with that. Why he make Joseph marry her? What Joseph do to deserve a wife who got to stay a virgin? If I didn't divorce her before, I would divorce after. This ain't gonna work. Now I done put up with this while you had God's baby. That's over. Now I need you to be my baby. See, y'all know I be saying stuff that people be thinking. How come our Catholic brothers and sisters never question that? How's he going to marry a virgin all her life and God make him marry her? But the Bible said he knew her not until. So after Jesus, he was counting. Lord Jesus. Lord, be glad when this baby born, Jesus. Y'all ain't never thought about this from Joseph's perspective. But now we see, after Jesus, he got all the brothers and sisters. James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters. We see they were sisters. He said, aren't they all still living here in the neighborhood? Whence this, here we go. Whence then have this man all these things? Where all this coming from? They despised him. Look at this. And they were offended. They were offended that this boy who they knew when they grew up with is now speaking to them with authority. And they were offended. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their what? Unbelief. And so the Lord spoke to me about that today, because I read this scripture. I preached this for many years. The Bible says in Acts 10, I believe, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were pressed of the devil. When Jesus came to places, he would heal all. Well, why now do we only have, he's not able to do many mighty works there? I think verse 59 goes on and say he healed a few sick folks. Well, why could he work many miracles? Can I tell you who the few sick folks were who got healed? Those who believed him. The reason why he didn't do many mighty works there, because the many people didn't believe him. The many people despised him. So God says, I need you to prepare. Look at somebody, say, get your faith up, get your faith up. Oh, come on now. Something that has not happened, you got to say, oh, it's about to happen now. Something that has not been released, you got to say, it's about to be released now. Something that has not been healed, you got to say, it's about to be healed now. Something that has not broken forth, you got to say, it's going to break forth now. I'm getting my faith up. I'm preparing for the supernatural. So in the case of Joshua, there would be specific instructions that Joshua had to give them in preparation of the supernatural. But they would not listen to the instructions until God first magnified Joshua in their eyes. As long as they were despising Joshua, if he said, well, Brees, y'all going to get the ark. Well, who are you? How they say it? Who made you the boss of us? Oh, you think you Moses now? Just because you went up there in the mountain with him and was with him for 40 days, all you were doing was sleeping. Just because you carried his Bible, just because you traveled with him, who are you? So God had to magnify him in their eyes. Look at 2 Chronicles 20:20. So I need y'all to understand that as I give and we release prophetic words from this pulpit, you can't despise us. And you can't despise our words. I told you my spiritual mother, Mother Bailey, one time, you know, I went to college. I was the first person in our, I hadn't even gotten a degree yet. I was in the midst of a first semester. You understand, but I got a little more education than the rest of them got, and I think I know something. I'm enrolled. I'm matriculating through college. And I came back smelling myself a little bit, and I started saying this and saying that, and I said, well, you know, and I'll never forget my aunt, my baby said to me, she said, boy, shut up. She said, when you become unteachable, I shut my mouth. And she said, if I shut my mouth, you will never be who God wants you to be, because what God wants to do for you is through my mouth. Know what she was saying? Don't start thinking you're smarter than me. Mr. Bailey would look at me and say, boy, I done forgot more than you'll ever learn. I don't know if that's a good thing, but out of a God more than you'll ever learn. No, but he's saying, okay, regardless of the education level, understand the role and the position that God puts your spiritual leaders in your life. Oh, come on. This happened to Moses too. Moses' sister, Miriam, and his jellyback brother, Aaron. Jellyback punk Aaron. Oh, you shouldn't say that, but he was a jellyback punk. I'll tell him in his face when I see him in heaven. Moses leaves him in charge. And people say, well, we'll never happen to Moses. We need to make another God. He said, all right, give me your earrings. And he go make another God, punk. He should have said, no, we're going to wait for Moses. Okay? But, and Miriam says, well, after he marries a black woman. It's in the Bible. It's around Numbers 15, 13 minutes from where. He said they spoke, murmured about Moses because he married an Ethiopian woman. And then it says, because he married an Ethiopian woman. That's why the Bible reads. He said, they murmured against Moses because he married an Ethiopian woman. For he married an Ethiopian woman. Now, what Bob said, I want to be clear, this is why they had a problem with Moses. And they start talking about Moses. And Miriam said, is he the only one to hear from God? Here we go. Miriam Moses said, hey, boy, you're on it today, meeting. Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he married. For he married an Ethiopian woman. Y'all see it? You know, people try to make this everything else. Bob, real clear. He married this black woman who looked too black for them. This wasn't a... It didn't say she was a woman of color. She was an Ethiopian. Straight up Ethiopian. Okay? And they said, has the Lord only spoken by Moses? He speaks by all of us. We all hear God. And God struck Miriam with leprosy. Okay? And then God rebuked Miriam and Aaron. And the reason why I call Aaron Jellyback Punk, because we don't see that Aaron ever said anything negative. He just listened. Sometimes your courage is in walking away when other people are murmuring. Rather than sitting there listening. Well, I didn't say anything. That's the problem. You said nothing. And they said, had God only spoken by Moses? We all hear God. And God said to Miriam, he said, yeah, you're a prophetess. He said, but I don't deal with you like I deal with Moses. He said, I'll talk to you. I talk to you in visions and dreams. He said, but when I talk to Moses, I talk face to face. Moses has a higher position than you do. Are y'all listening to me in this church in the wilderness? He said, in order for me to do the supernatural, I need to esteem them in your sight. Second Chronicles 20:20. I'm just about finished here. I'm just introducing it. And they rose in the morning and they went forth in the wilderness of Tekoa. This is when Jehoshaphat and the three armies came against them. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Notice there's establishment, but there's prospering. And the Lord gave me this years ago. It's being established is having a car, having a house, having your needs. But being prospering is having a car you want, the house you want, in the neighborhood you want. There's a difference between being established and prospering. Because sometimes prospering is going to come through specific instructions at specific times. And you won't obey the instructions if you don't esteem the person giving you the instructions. Are y'all with me here? Hebrews 13, 17, I quoted earlier, but let's see it. Hebrews 13 and 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Submit who? It is not up to a pastor or a spiritual leader, a husband, a father, a parent. Well, parents, you're going to have to, parents are different. Your boss, when you're dealing with adult, to make you submit. Submission is something you do yourself. And the reason why you submit, because I honor the authority of that person. Nobody should have to be jumping and screaming, I'm the head I see around here. Anytime you hear a man have to tell his wife, I wear the pants in this house. He don't wear the pants. He don't wear no pants. And she probably beating him with his own belt. Submission is something that you do voluntarily. Obey them, for they watch over your souls, as they must give account, that they may do with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. It's difficult to follow instructions from someone you don't respect. And when Jesus performed his first miracle at the wedding feast of Cana, it required respect. Notice he's in Cana and not at Nazareth, because I don't think Jesus ever would have done this or could have done it in Nazareth, because they wouldn't obey the instructions. Who are you telling? The first thing Jesus said, fill the water pots. Paul, who are you talking to? I don't have to fill no water pots. But if we're going to have a miracle, you will need to fill these water pots. Are y'all listening to me? The wedding feast at Cana required specific instructions. When Jesus performed the first miracle, it required specific instructions. such to the degree that Mary said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. In order for there to be supernatural, in order for there to be miracle, oh, let me go a little deeper. If in order for there to be lack reversal, you need to catch this. You're going to have to obey some instructions. The first miracle, see, a lot of us, some of y'all totally missed the revelation. Y'all think that the wedding feast of Cana was just about turning up. Man, they ran out of turn up. And Jesus gave them some more turn up. What a mighty God we serve. They ran out of Boone's Farm, man. Had no more Ripple. Y'all don't know nothing about no Boone Farm and Ripple. You got to grow up in the hood to know about Boone Farm and Ripple. Y'all be drinking the Merlot. Or I heard somebody who's in the hood who didn't really know about the Merlot, he called it Merlot.
Are you believing God to do the unexpected in your life? Bishop Herbert Bailey has declared that this is the year of the supernatural. However, the supernatural comes with preparation. This impactful series prepares you to receive the supernatural. Order today on CD or DVD. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to writedirection.info. Ask for Preparing for the Supernatural. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.